started with this picture last week and started talking to you about having a clean and a clear heart. And you know, to some degree, it's our choice, isn't it? I know rains come and cause a river to get dark with sediment. But you know, usually what happens in our lives, you know, our lives become unclean or unmanageable because of poor choices that we've made. Last week, I started talking to you about envy and how we need to overcome the sin of envy in order to have a clean and a clear heart. And we're going to continue with that today and add another thought to it. And I want to talk to you today about bitterness. Let me ask you, is bitterness a big thing or a little thing? You know, most of the time we think that it's just something that's there. It's something that not a lot of other people are even aware of. You know, they don't know how we feel deep down in our hearts, you know, thoughts that we have about other people, maybe words that we've spoken in private about other people. You know, bitterness is one of those things that we don't think it's such a very big thing. But, you know, I think small things can become big things. Let me give you an example. Years ago, Arlene and I, when we first got married, we were married 34 years. Yes, she was 12 when we got married. But in those 34 years, when we first were married, you know, we came from kind of different paths. I mean, we came from good families, good Christian families. But you know, she just had one younger sister. You know, we had a baseball team in my house, and it was just a whole different environment growing up that way. And I had to teach her something, and it really caused a problem in our marriage for a period of time. And I know you're going to find this really not hard to believe at all, because probably men all over America and all around the world have had such problems with their families and with their wives. But early on in our marriage, I couldn't get Arlene to choose the right bologna at the store. I'm serious. She would come home and you know, in her mind, she would buy the because she didn't eat it. She'd buy the cheapest or whatever was on sale, and she never really gave it much thought, because she never really would eat it. She didn't like it. You know, it just wasn't her thing. And I was kind of raised on that. I just loved it. And it took me a while to get her to understand that, you know, cheaper's not better when it comes to bologna. Okay, or is the way we say it in Lee County, Virginia, baloney. Okay, but it became a thing of angst in our relationship, because she would forget that, and then she wouldn't remember what I wanted her to get, and it just became this real issue. Here's the thing though: little things can become big things if we allow resentment to grow in our heart and in our mind towards other people. You know, God's word has an awful lot to say about this. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14 and 15. Look at what it says. It says, work at living in peace with everyone, and work at living a holy life. For those who are not holy will not see the Lord. Look after each other so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many. Now listen, folks, focus on that last sentence of that passage. He says, watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many. He calls it a root. What is it about roots? You know, you think about it, roots really do three things. They store, right? They grow, and they produce fruit. You think about roots and fruit and what that means in your life and in mine. Roots, they absorb things. Bitterness, he said, is a root. Bitterness absorbs painful information. Roots store up nutrients for the plant, for it to grow, and bitterness is like that. It stores up the words of other people, and we hold them against them. And if those roots are left unchecked, they will begin to grow, and they will reap havoc in your life. Some years ago, we had a problem with a drain being clogged outside our home. And the city came down, and they found out that there was a drain that had been that was clogged because of the trees growing on our property. And I'll never forget the day that they came down and they put this apparatus inside the pipe, and it was a little robot kind of thing, and it had a camera on it. And as he went down through there, he showed me the jumbled roots inside this pipe, and it had caused it to clog up, and it literally had to be bulldozed out and put back in again. All because those roots had started to grow inside that pipe, and then they had just multiplied and grown and gotten bigger and bigger until it blocked up the entire system. You see, that's the way the root of bitterness is. Contrast it what the Bible says about love. 1 Corinthians 13 says that love keeps no record of wrongs. But yet bitterness does. It keeps a detailed record of wrongs. We know that. You think about it. He says that love endures. But yet bitterness just gives up very easily because we're just overcome with the effects of those roots. So here's what I want us to do today, folks. I want us to understand that bitterness is a big thing. It's not a small thing. It's not something that just you know about and that no one else is dealing with in your life or in your family or in your extended family. It affects everything that we are and everything that we want to be. He says that bitterness is a dangerous root, but think about it. It's also a very poisonous fruit. Because what do roots do? Roots store, roots absorb, and roots help things to grow. And if we allow bitterness to grow in our life, to grow in our heart, that it will produce a fruit, and that fruit will be a poisonous fruit. He says no bitter root grows up and causes trouble and defiles many. I mean, think about that word defile and what that means. Literally, the Greek word means to stain or to pollute or to contaminate. And we never really know what the effect is on our life until we realize the negative outcome of bitterness. You know, my dear hound at home, Wilson, taught me a valuable lesson about this recently. We were in the house, and I was sitting there. I was watching a football game or something, and he had gone into the laundry room downstairs. And in a few minutes, he came back out, and he came over to me, and he's wagging his tail. And I reached down and pet him, and I was saying hello, and he kind of jumped up on, and he got kind of close to me, and I looked him right in the eye, and I said, "Wilson, you've got cat litter on your breath." He did. It's like, oh my. And then it all of a sudden hit me what he was doing in the laundry room. Now here's the thing. Why in the world would you ever want to do such a thing? But in his mind, he just couldn't get it. He couldn't comprehend it. And he was just like, you know, I don't know. He thought it was some kind of mouth lozenge or something. I'm not sure. But I think we're like that. We don't understand how bad it is, how destructive it is. You know, we don't understand the effects of that. Because all of a sudden, here's my beloved dog, and I'm just like, get out of my face. You see, folks, bitterness is like that. He says it is a bitter root. It will spring up, and it will corrupt many by its poisons. That's what one version says. It uses the word poison, but it contaminates things that that way. Matter of fact, if you look at this passage of Scripture, he says in Hebrews 12, he says at the end of it, he says, "Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you or corrupting many." I mean, have you ever thought, just sit down and thought about, when you give in to bitterness, what it leads to? Now, let me give you a list of what bitterness will bring into your life. Number one is it'll make it very easy to see the bad in other people. You know, when you're not bitter, when you're not allowing that root of bitterness to grow in your heart and in your mind and in your soul, you know, it's really to love people. It's easy to love people. It's easy to forgive people. It's easy to see the best in people. But when we give in to bitterness, it is so easy to see the bad in others. If someone hurts us, we can pick them apart and see the bad in their life so very easy. We say things like, "Do they know who do they think they are? Walking around so self-righteous, saying they do this or they do that." And it is so easy to pick the faults out of other people when you give in to bitterness. Why? Because it's a root. It's a root growing, and it is easy to see the bad in those who hurt us. Second, what bitterness brings is this understanding that we feel justified in criticizing and oftentimes gossiping about these people. I mean, they've wronged us, and we feel like it's our right to tell everybody what a low-down, no-good person they are and how they should never be trusted, and that it's the right thing to do to expose them and to speak the truth. Why? Because we feel justified, because they've hurt us. And because they've hurt us, we're going to criticize and we're going to gossip. You see, we're under the false assumption that if something is true, that it can never be gossip. But that's not correct. Truth can be gossip simply because we give in to the idea of wanting to hurt other people with our words. Thirdly, and if you're writing these down, this one's very, very important. It's so easy to secretly celebrate their misfortunes. When something goes wrong in their life, we secretly go and even think deep down that boy, they got what they deserved. Hey, Sam, are you back there? Could I get to ask you a favor? Bring me a Kleenex or a couple Kleenexes or something. Thank you. I'm sorry. I can't get over this cold. Right, we can secretly celebrate their misfortunes. Thank you. I mean, isn't that true? Haven't you ever done that? I've done that. You know, somebody hurts your feelings, and then somebody has something, you know, not awful, you know, not catastrophic, but if something kind of negative comes their way, and deep down it's so easy to think, wow, that was kind of enjoyable. And it's too bad that we do that. But what happens is, that happens when we give in to this idea of allowing bitterness to grow in our hearts. I mean, even things like when marriages break up or when sin is exposed and things like that. You know, financial difficulties and even collapse. And we can think in our hearts, you know what, that's God dishing out to those people exactly what they deserve. And all the time we forget the words of Jesus when he says about doing good to those that hate you, praying for those that persecute you. Even Jesus on the cross, when he's being crucified, asking for their forgiveness for what they're doing to him. And then fourthly, perhaps where we see it in most families, especially around the holidays, is bitterness can just bring people down. You know, not only do we hurt ourselves, but giving into bitterness hurts the people around us. And it hurts the people that we live with, the people that we love. You know, bitter people produce bitter children. And giving into bitterness has a way of just flooding a person's entire life. I mean, haven't you ever gone to a family gathering, a family reunion, some get together, and when you see that person come in that you know is so bitter about maybe something big or something small, and you just know that that person and their bitterness is just gonna suck the life out of the whole room. You see, that's what bitterness can do. We see this in divorces all the time. You know, children, you need to favor me and not my spouse, because my spouse did whatever. And that's what we don't like about him or about her. Wow. And all the time, our whole families are affected in terrible ways. So here's the thing. With whom or at what are you bitter? With whom or at what are you bitter? Because you see, here's God's admonition to all of us today who are struggling with bitterness. He says, get rid of it. Get rid of all bitterness and rage and anger and brawling and slander, along with every kind of malice. If you look at that list right there, you will see that all of these things are rooted and they grow out of a bitter spirit and a bitter heart and a bitter root growing in the lives of people. So what do you need to get rid of? He gives us the list here, but you know what I love about God's word? It always, when he gives us a list like this, he doesn't leave us there. He tells us what we should in turn fill the void with. You know, if we have a root of bitterness and through His Spirit and through His might we're able to get rid of it, He gives us here what we need to put in its place. Look at this beautiful list. He says, be kind, be compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as God forgave you. You see, I think what he says here is that these are the antidotes to bitterness. These are the things that will kill bitterness. This is the antibiotic that we need to take to eradicate this germ from our bodies, from our souls, from our hearts. What does he say? He says, be kind, be compassionate, be forgiving. You know, I've always said when I counsel couples that are going to get married, I always tell them, you know, I said, you can avoid almost all the problems that can come to a married couple if you're just kind to one another. You know, I believe that. I believe that if you're just kind and good to each other, that it'll actually eliminate almost any problems that'll come your way. Just kindness. It's a beautiful thing. Jesus said, you know, it's the golden rule. Do unto others as you'd have them to do unto you. It's just the definition of kindness. You know, I've been so blessed with that. Just the other night, I saw this so real in my life. I was sitting downstairs. I was watching a football game or something on television, and Arlene was over on the couch, and she kind of had her feet up, and she was reading a book, and I was enjoying the game. And, you know, at one point, I looked at her, and out of kindness, I said, sweetheart, would you like a cup of hot tea? I said, I'm going to go up and make a cup of coffee. Would you like a cup of hot tea? And I knew what she was going to say. It's what she always says. As she was putting down her book, she was getting up and she said, I'll get it. I knew she was going to say that. It's part of the reason I hesitated between the tea and the coffee. She always says that. You know why? Because she's just kind. Isn't it a beautiful thing to be around, to love, and to care about somebody that is truly kind. He says it's the antidote to bitterness. He says be kind. He says be compassionate. Compassion kills forgiveness. He says be kind and compassionate to one another. You see, a lot of times when we talk about compassion, we talk about reaching out that way, it's always about what we how we want people to treat us. But he says, reach out with compassion towards others. It said that Jesus looked around and he saw the people of Jerusalem, and it said that he had compassion over them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. You see, compassion can never be just a thought. Compassion has to be a thought that leads to an action. So instead of being bitter, and instead of allowing that bitterness to grow and that fruit to flourish, that poisonous fruit that will contaminate everything that we are, we got to choose this other thing, this avenue of kindness and compassion. And then he says forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. You know, not forgiving as other people have forgiven us, but to forgive as God has forgiven you. You see, that passage says, make every effort to live in peace with all men. Make every effort. So my question to you, my question even to myself today, is are we making every effort to overcome this root of bitterness? Because too often what we do is we just let it lay. And then what happens is it takes root and it grows. And it absorbs and it feeds this stain, this contamination, this pollution, this fruit of bitterness. And then it just chokes the life out of everything else around. But you know what, folks? When it's cultivated correctly and eradicated, it's absolutely amazing what can grow. A few years ago, on Arlene and I's anniversary, we decided to go pick strawberries. And we went up over the mountain. We had found this strawberry patch, and they gave us a bucket, and they said, go for it. And as we got out in that strawberry patch, it was absolutely amazing. The bountiful harvest. I don't know how they kept up with how they charged you with what you ate, but it's amazing when a field is cultivated correctly, what can grow. But the thing about it is, folks, it takes nothing for bitterness to grow. It just grows. But it takes lots of work to eradicate it and to put in its place something beautiful like kindness, compassion, and forgiveness. But the fruits of those three things are so much sweeter than the bitter root. Let's pray. Father in heaven, well, Lord, I pray you'd bless us right now as we make our commitments to you, Lord. God, we thank you, we love you, we appreciate your word that gives us such a great admonition here of something, Lord, to get rid of something to flee, of something to fight, of something to win a victory over, but yet also, Lord, the beautiful picture of what we can put in its place, a kind, compassionate, forgiving heart. And Lord, we want that. And we pray, Lord, that as we sing and share together about how awesome you are, our strong God, that, Lord, your Spirit would compel us to seek the better fruit and not the bitter fruit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.